ladies, and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Hi, everyone. This is Rabbi Garfinkel of Project 613 in Chicago with a live studio audience. Wow. Gotta love those live studio audiences. And today is a momentous day. Yes, this podcast being released on October 7th, which needs no introduction, sadly, to the Jewish people. I cannot imagine a year in which more upheaval has happened in the Jewish people. Literally a year period of time that has led to more upheaval, more questioning of the givens of life as Jews in America, Jews around the world, of all sorts of assumptions about us being secure in the exile, even conversations we never would have. Of course, America is forever, and it was not just October 7th, which was graphic and barbaric and a very painful wound for the Jewish people, but in addition, the response of the world, or lack of response of the world, to support us, and the doubling down of supporting terrorists and murderers and barbarians and rapists and baby killers. And I guess I don't need to continue. I think that has shocked the entire Jewish world. This Wednesday, October 9th, Project 613 is doing a truly meaningful October 7th memorial. I have to be honest, I have seen some of the memorials and how people are commemorating October 7th, and it pains me deeply. So we go for a classic playbook. How do you commemorate someone who died? By doing mitzvot. Because this world is a world of doing mitzvot. In a world of physicality, God gives us the opportunity to do physical actions that he has ascribed tremendous deep meaning to. And through these actions, we connect to the Almighty. And that's really our purpose in this world. It's an obstacle course with things trying to hold us back from doing those activities. Some of those activities are by thought. Some of those activities are by deed. And those are called the mitzvot. Mitzvah is that which connects us to Hashem. And so what we do when a fellow Jew dies is that we do what they can't do. We do mitzvot. We fulfill commandments. We do the actions that they would have done if they were still around. Or even if they wouldn't have done them, that their death and their lives inspired us to do them. And therefore, the mitzvah accrues not only to our merit, but to their merit. So by doing a mitzvah for someone who is no longer on planet Earth, we're actually directly benefiting them. We are sending them, elevating. It's called Ilui Nishmato, or Nishmata, an elevation of his or her soul. We have a direct impact on the soul that is no longer in this earth when we do mitzvahs in their honor. And that's what Project 613, I'm very proud to say, is going to do this Wednesday, October 9th. And we would like to invite the community, particularly the young professionals, but as well community members who would like to come to our downtown center and learn Torah. Now, what Olami did was absolutely spectacular. Olami is the mothership of which we are in Project 613 as an affiliate. There were, maybe more, but at least six participants in Olami Israel. Olami is around the world. Olami means worldwide. And they were murdered on October 7th. And what the people at Olami did was brilliantly, they found out about an amazing character trait of each of these people. And they found Torah sources to bring out and to learn about that character trait of that person who was killed, who was murdered. And we are going on Wednesday night to learn together in memory of not only those six students, but of all the people who died, who were murdered on October 7th and beyond, and raise their souls. And in the process of raising their souls in the next world, we will be elevated ourselves. That is how we commemorate Jews who were lost. So please reach out to me. Please, if you know Jews who would like to come to our downtown center on Wednesday, please let's make this happen. I think it's going to be an absolutely spectacular, inspiring, and beautiful event. We are now right in the middle. We are in between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Rosh Hashanah, a day of big vision. A day of big vision of us getting ourselves on the same page as the CEO of the universe, to see his plan for the world, to see how do we fit into the Almighty's plan. What unique talents and capabilities has he given us that we need to express in the world? And as we make this transition from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, and Yom Kippur then is once we've identified our core mission, what our purpose is on God's green earth, then now, with that clarity in mind, we have the awesome responsibility and task to own up to our shortcomings. And in fact, we need to have Rosh Hashanah, as we said last time, before Yom Kippur, because it's only with that ultimate clarity of our life purpose and mission can then we look at the nuances and details and the fine print of our behavior and see what is appropriate and what is not appropriate and how I can make amends for my lack in my behavior, that which is lacking, my sins, okay? And that is what Yom Kippur is all about. And so this transition between big ideas of inspiration about where our mission is and then the focus on particular details of our lives, I can't help but be absolutely blown away by two soldiers, and actually one soldier and one mother. And I don't know how closely you've been following what's going on in Israel, but in addition to fighting in Gaza and trying to get back the soldiers, we have an entire new front opened up in Lebanon, and a ground invasion to clear out the terrorists from southern Lebanon so that the residents of the north can actually return to their homes. I don't know if people realize, but 60,000, at least 60,000 residents of the north no longer live in their homes and have not lived in their homes since October 7th because of the bombs that have been coming from Hezbollah. Hotels in Israel have been full, not from tourists, sadly, but rather from Israelis all over the north who have evacuated their homes. And this very justified war in Lebanon is to allow them to return home in safety. So there was a very like elite sort of like shock troops, the unit. There are a few of them. One of them is called the Egos. Egos means nut. These guys are the top of the top. And sadly, eight of them were killed in action. The first eight that were killed in this new war in Lebanon. Sadly, a long litany of wars. And I would like to share with you two things. I was only going to do one, but as I was doing research, I came upon something else that I would like to share with you. And if these don't inspire us to be better Jews, I don't know what will. So the first is the commander of this Egos unit named Eitan Oster. Hashem Yikom Damo, may Hashem avenge his blood. And this was in a final message to his parents before Rosh Hashanah. And he says, and it's a recorded message. And this guy is so good looking. I mean, this guy's a good looking dude. And it's just sweet as sugar. You could just tell. And he's the head of this crack unit, like going into these crazy missions that they knew was very dangerous. So, and this is a pretty accurate but loose translation as well. Dear family, and he sends this to his family before Rosh Hashanah. Jake Chesterson, I don't know exactly who he is, said that a true soldier, a true warrior fights not because of the hatred of the enemy that he's facing, but rather because of the love for that which stands behind him. In other words, he's saying that I'm not going out just to kill people. I'm going out because of the love that I have for those people behind me. In recent days, I visited many of the abandoned cities and villages in the north, and to see it that way was incredibly difficult. We have prepared for this mission long before I even was drafted into the army, with the values I was raised with in my home. And now the time has arrived to achieve the goal of returning the residents of the north of Israel to their homes. We are ready, strong, and we see this mission as an historical merit. Just as an aside, he saw this, it was a merit. It was an honor for him to be on this mission. And with Hashem's impact and help, the coming generations won't need to deal with these things. And he continues, I recognize the tremendous responsibility on my shoulders and of all the soldiers under my watch. There is no one happier to be part of this family. And I think he means both his army family and his regular family. And to move forward towards achieving our missions and goals. He was joyous going into this mission. If you see the video, he's like smiling. He has like this very beautiful look of joy on his face. And he concludes, he says, and this is a good opportunity to wish you Shana Tova. I love you so much. May this year and its curses end, that's a classic Jewish expression, and begin a new year of its blessings. And I apologize if I hurt any of you during the year. I love you so much, and you are always with me in my heart. And that's it. Ad ha-nitzachon, until victory. And sadly, Eitan Oster and seven of his compatriots and Egos were murdered by Hezbollah terrorists as they were performing a very dangerous mission that they knew was very dangerous. And what do you say? What do you say? You say that Eitan Oster lived a meaningful life, a purposeful life. He knew what he was willing to die for, and therefore he knew what he was willing to live for. How many of us know what we would be willing to die for? And because he knew what he would die for, his life was worth living. And that is a very, very powerful, powerful idea. I'd like to pivot now to the mother of one of those seven soldiers with Eitan, one of his soldiers in his unit, who is named Harel Ettinger. And his mother, Tamar, gave probably one of the most incredible eulogies I have ever heard in my life. And Tamar Ettinger, just to describe, so again, her son Harel died in the same mission that Eitan led. Tamar Ettinger's husband, Rabbi Achiad Ettinger, rushed to help a terror attack 5.5 years ago and was killed. So this is a woman who has lost her husband and now to a terror attack and her son in battle. And here is what she said just a few days ago. My child, mighty and brave, filled with strength, with a bashful smile and sparkling eyes, is now dead, is now gone. My beloved Hashem, God, descended to his garden to pluck roses. That's an allusion from the Song of Songs, Shir HaShirim. Not just one rose, but two. And roses like these don't just grow accidentally. And now she is speaking to her children who were there, her other children who were there at the funeral. Do you hear, my children? You hear, grandfathers and grandmothers? Hashem chose Abba and Harel. Abba is father, and Harel is her son. Our amazing father and son, because Hashem knows that we have the ability to handle it, and that Hashem gave and gives and will give us strength and happiness and life. Can you imagine this? You imagine this woman who lost her husband, who lost now one of her sons, and she says that she knows that Hashem did this because we have the strength to get through this. She continues, beloved children, I've seen in the last 3 days that we have received with tremendous kindness just for us. She's like on a different planet. She's on a level of faith and trust in the Almighty that we can only dream of. She calls these days, days of tremendous kindness just for us. With all of the agonizing pain and longing and missing and lack, I thank Hashem for this flow of kindness. This is what we call tzidok hadin. This is called justifying to making right, to accepting God's judgment, however painful it is. I've never heard anything this beautiful. She continues to her children, I love and value every one of you so much. And then she turns to God. Now fasten your seatbelts. Do you want to know one of the greatest examples of faith in God? Here you go. Master of the universe, says Tamar Ettinger, Master of the universe, I have no questions. I believe with full faith that everything is for the good, and I am returning to you the pure soul that you gave to Achiyat and to me 23 years ago. I return to you your child that you entrusted to me, who I tried to raise and to give life to with love and joy. I saw the video. I'm translated this from the video. I cannot even fathom the strength of this woman. And then she concludes and she says, but I request from you, Master of the Universe, for redemption. Redemption means she's not just thinking about herself. She wants the entire Jewish people to be extricated from Hamas and from Hezbollah and from all of the pain and all of the agony. That's what's on her mind. It's not about her. It's not just about her. She says, I request from you, Master of the Universe, for redemption. Redemption with mercy. Redemption with kindness. Redemption with sweetness. That the final redemption shouldn't have to come with wars and battles. That Hashem should just redeem us. That we may merit to feel and to see your compassion. That is her concluding prayer. This is a great woman. These are great people. This is what the Jewish people produce. This is what a life of Torah produces. I don't know about you, but when the air conditioning takes about 5 seconds too long in the car to cool me down on a summer day, I'm already like, oh, what's up with this air conditioning? And these are people who dedicate themselves to great ideas and are willing to put their lives on the line, who are willing to live and die for God and for the Jewish people. This is greatness. This does not come without Torah. You cannot produce a secular person like this. This is what we are demanded of. We're asked to go from this journey from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur. When we see people who have locked in and dialed in, what does it mean to be a Jew? Life is not just about making money. It's just not. Money's really important. I run a nonprofit. Money is really important. I get it. But money is a tool for a larger goal. If our entire goal in life is just to make money, we've missed the boat. If our goal in life is to make money, to be able to live our values and to support the values that we cherish, that's then what life is about. And so as we make this transition from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur with the clarity of Eitan Oster and Tamar Ettinger and all of their families, that we should be inspired to live Jewish, to live more Jewish, to live that purposeful Jewish life, which means to learn Torah, which means to do mitzvot, which means that this Yom Kippur, I won't be depressed. I will look honestly at my life and say, where can I get better? What can I do better for Hashem? As these families bury their children and rededicate themselves to God's service, may it inspire us to do the same. God bless. Have an amazing, beautiful, elevating, and cleansing Yom Kippur. And God willing, we will see you again right back here next week for another exciting edition of Monday Motivation.